All right, we're back. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO
BS. BS.
All right, well, we're going to be having a great show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
JJ Juergens is our guest.
Fantastic.
Yes, we're going to talk about promo and her great career so far. I'm mm-hmm. sure it's going to get even better.
It's always so far, right?
So far. Yeah. Yeah, she's a young lady. So it'll be fine. Yeah. We've got a bunch of questions that have been sent in by our voluminous audience.
Yes, we do.
And you've got some tech stuff?
Yeah, I got a few little bits of tech news, a little announcement from Apple today I'll talk about a little bit.
Cool.
A few other things.
All right, well, let's light this candle.
In a world where two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easier for voice actors everywhere, together in one place, starring George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Also starring Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voiceover actor with over 30 years' experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is the VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products, Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo, Busy Demos, your audio demo never looked so good. Source Elements, who bring you Source Connect, Source Connect Live, and Source Connect Now. VO2GoGo.com and Rehearsal App. VoiceOverView.com, your voiceover business made simple. And the VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, rated R for recording, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
All righty, good evening to the world. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO
BS.
All right, well, we're back.
Welcome back, man.
Oh, it's nice to see you.
I know. It felt so like such a long time between the trip I was taking, our time off.
I was gone, and then we were off for the holidays and stuff, and now it's just great to be back.
It is great to get back into the
swing of things.
Yes.
You know, because I haven't actually been in the studio to do the show for a long time.
I know.
Which is going to be
great. We're all back. Cameras, people, humans,
yes.
Audience.
We have a big audience tonight.
That's pretty
awesome. We can get some applause from the audience so everybody knows who's here. So that's what we need, is we need the floor director to hold up the applause sign.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
That's baby steps.
Baby steps, yeah.
Okay. This is episode 79. Maybe 134 we'll get that working.
All right. We have to invest in the sign, though. It's write it out.
Someone can sponsor
us. Yes. Anyway, by the way, speaking of sponsors, we got two new sponsors tonight.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
We've got VoiceOver Review, which is a CRM and VoiceOver Career Management Program.
Right, which also creates a website for
you. Which also creates a website for you. It's fabulous.
It's pretty innovative.
And our good friends, Tish Hicks over at the VO Dojo.
Fantastic.
Great place to learn your voiceover skills here in L.A. and wherever you are.
I've known Tish quite a while. She's runs a really good outfit over there.
It's very good.
So glad to have her.
We're welcoming them to the VOBS family.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we've got JJ Juergens with us tonight. She's going to be talking about her stuff.
Everybody knows this. We said it before the cold open.
I know, but it's just the way you do these things. It's formal. It's what it says
it
in the format, so that's what
it
we're going to do.
It is formal. Yeah, it is formal.
Okay. Anyway, so we welcome the new sponsors. We told them about the guests. So now it's time for...
And now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
All righty, here is the VoiceOver Extra News for June 5th. It's June 5th already. Amazing. Client follow-ups. Has a voiceover project ever slipped away from you because the client just never got back to you? Has the client ever not paid for a job or service you performed? Okay, rather than blame the client, maybe you should rethink your strategy for following up. Could you be better at this? Following up with leads and clients is almost as crucial as making that initial contact. But it's important, and it's often overlooked, says VO Pro Michael Langser in a new article in VoiceOver Extra. In the article, Michael, who also operates an audio post-production company, notes specific situations where follow-ups can be crucial to getting or completing a job, and more importantly, to getting paid. And he shares when and how to make these follow-ups. For instance, what about when a client reaches out to you directly to request an audition? This can be either through a private job posting on a P2P site or through direct contact. Should you follow up? Yes, says Michael. I mean, I always follow up when they do that. The client has expressed an interest in you over countless other talent by inviting you to audition for them directly. So I guess it's kind of warranted to follow up if they either don't respond after you send your audition or if they thank you for the audition and you don't hear anything else for a while. Wait 1 to 3 days to send a quick follow-up to make sure they got the files and see if they need anything else. Did you get the files? I haven't heard anything from you.
Follow up.
Drives me nuts. If the client thanked you after sending the audition but has not sent an additional response, you can follow up in 1 to 3 weeks later to check if there has been any feedback from the end client and if they have any questions for you. Several additional situations are discussed in the article, including when the client apparently forgets to pay you. Should you follow up on a no pay? Duh! Michael advises that if there has been an earlier discussion regarding the client's payment terms, wait until at least that period has expired. For instance, many clients pay net 30, meaning they release the payment 30 days after the invoice has been processed. So in this case, don't start the 30-day follow-up countdown from the date you sent the invoice. Rather, add another 7 to 14 days to the account for processing on their end, as well as mailing of the check, if this is their payment method. If that pay period goes by and still no payment, check in to inform that you will still haven't received the payment and ask for an ETA on when you will receive it. If there's still no response, that ever happened to you, pick up the phone. In Michael's experience, that usually gets the check. But above all, he says, always, always be pleasant, polite, and professional. Let the expletives loose when you're alone, but never when you're on the phone or waiting or writing an email. Being friendly will just be more likely for you to get the result you desire. I just remember, should I hit send? Should I hit send? Maybe not. You can check the specifics of Michael's follow-up strategies now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. Look for this article and links to hundreds more on voice acting, business marketing, home studios, and more.
Nicely done.
Lengthy and informative.
Yeah. Now that just reminds me the whole, if you send an email, you regret it later.
Oh.
There is a tool that I've used from time to time called Boomerang.
Yes.
And what it does is you can install it as a plugin in Gmail. I think it has a plugin for Apple Mail. I'm not sure. But when you send an email, you can delay that send. So when you send it, it's scheduling it. It's not sending it that instant. You can say, send it in 10 minutes or send it tomorrow morning, not at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're a middle of the night emailer and you don't want people to think you're a middle of the night emailer and that you're working at night, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good for that. Then you can go, I shouldn't have sent that. And then you can go in and say, unsend.
Yeah, really. I found a better solution. The right medication. Always works. Maybe not.
Think twice.
That's true.
If you have any at all reservations about sending an email, don't send it.
Yeah.
Or send it to somebody you trust. Let them read it and then... Yes.
Some big announcements from Apple this week.
Well, yeah. Today, for the Apple aficionados out there, the Apple fans, the WWDC, which is the Worldwide Developer Conference, was today. And it's a conference that's really intended for the developers of new software that run on Mac and iOS. So iPhone, iPad, everything. But they also use this opportunity to announce hardware stuff in gadgets and things that we might care about in the consumer world. The thing that's probably the most exciting for us who are the pros and people that like the word pro in their equipment name is they are coming out with an iMac Pro. The iMac Pro is really meant to be a computer that people that have been calling the iMac underpowered or even the actual Mac Pro underpowered, they're taking the horsepower from basically the horsepower from a Mac Pro and they're stuffing it into an iMac. So you can get an iMac.
Is there room for that?
I know. Well, if you've seen a new iMac, they're very thin. They're the thickest. They're like this thick in the back. That's about it. And they're very low profile. It's going to be about the same size as a current iMac, but now they're going to shove into this thing up to, big numbers, 18 CPU cores. So like this MacBook Air is a 2-core machine. It's a dual core.
Yeah.
The machine we use to produce the show is a 4-core machine.
Yep.
You'll be able to buy an 18-core Mac Pro.
Wow.
So who needs this?
Right? Somebody running a war.
Yeah. Somebody who's doing 4K video, which is now becoming, like, we do 1080p, we do 720p. They're now expected. There's now an expectation of YouTubers to amp the ante to 4K. So, you know, that's who this thing is for.
Right.
Really. It's not. Most people don't need something like this, but it's going to be pretty amazing. It's going to be out in December, and you can get it with up to 64 gigabytes of memory or RAM. So this thing is going to be an absolute monster, and if it doesn't melt down and overheat in your studio, I will be very impressed. Let's just put it this way. I've seen more than one iMac completely overheat. One of my clients, I walked into his office, and I was like, do you have a space heater? It's a little bit warm in here. And he was like, it's just my iMac.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane how much heat those things could put out.
Really?
So that's exciting. There's a new MacBook Pro with some improvements, nothing super exciting. It's the iMac Pro that was the most exciting thing to me. There's also a new Apple product that's a competitor to the Echo from Amazon. Raise your hand if anybody has trusted the use of an Echo device in their homes yet. No, nobody in here. If you don't know what an Echo is, it's this little cylinder you stick in your house that has the ability to hear your voice from pretty much anywhere in the house. And you can just say the name of the device, which I won't say because if somebody has the same device, it will hear my name saying it.
Martha!
And then it'll trigger it. You say the name of it. Echo, what's the weather today? And it starts telling you what the weather is and read your email. And I need more Pampers. Echo, I need more Pampers. And it will literally order you more Pampers. That kind of stuff. So anyway, Apple has their own variation on that. That's supposed to be like a Sonos speaker, but an Apple version of a Sonos speaker.
Cool.
So that could be really neat. That's the stuff that was most interesting to me. There's a lot more going on. If you want to see the latest announcements from Apple, just go to apple.com. They have their whole keynote on there. And if you want a condensed version, I just found on theverge.com a 19-minute version of the keynote video. So they went through and they chopped out. Have you ever TiVo'd an NFL game? And you just skip all the commercials and all the shock countdowns and you can just fly through the game? That's what this is. 19-minute version of the show. I also have a little show and tell real quick before we move on. This has been in my office for a little while. You know that guy Mike Frenchick? He's the guy that created the Hook Studios and makes cool pop screens
right,
and stuff.
Right, tiny ones, right.
We used to actually have one that had said EWABs on
it. I still have it.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It goes on your Epigee mic.
Yeah, they strap on to any microphone now. So he's been innovating and he's come out with a shock mount. This is it. This little tiny thing is it. It's an elastomer-based shock mount. So in other words, one side screws into the mic. The other side screws into the stand or the arm or whatever it's on. And then between is a special elastomer material. What does that do? It reduces vibration and shock to the microphone. Well, you're probably thinking, well, I already got a shock mount. Well, the nice thing about this...
I get several shock mounts. Yeah, they're all over the place.
The nice thing about this one is, first of all, it's universal. So you can screw it on to any of the mics you have. And they make two sizes. This is the heavier duty one. So this is for like a full-size studio mic. And he's going to come out with one that's a lighter duty one for like a small pencil mic or something like that. But it provides a damper, so it provides some vibration isolation. And if you don't want to use the elastomer or the elastic-based shock mount that's on your mic, because the elastics, they stretch out, they fall apart. This is an interesting alternative, and it's very new to the market. I believe these have started shipping, and the guy's right here in LA. I mean, he is literally making these things in town. So they're a small batch, but you can get them online at, and it says right on here, thehookstudios.com. So I just want to give Mike a shout out. He's been sending products to me and to test for quite a few years. That pop screen that came out that slips onto the end of a shotgun mic.
Yep.
That was sort of a co-venture, if you want to call it that. He was sending prototypes to us. We were trying them, and then he was modifying.
We're great for doing promo work. Yeah. You could really work the 416 with that.
I love the Hook Studios. Really cool stuff.
I wonder if this could also double for my crushed discs.
It is like a disc in your back for a microphone. That's pretty much what it is.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. The world of technology, who'd have thunk it?
You guys filled out the survey. You said you wanted to hear about more tech. Here you go.
All right.
We're going to let it rip.
But no more. No more tonight, but plenty next week.
Well, we got questions coming up.
Okay, cool. We'll get to those in just a minute. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. JJ Juergen coming up with us also here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So do not go away. We shall be right back.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer too. Just contact Uncle Roy at atlandproductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some voiceover with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Dojo is a full center for voiceover. Like a boxer going into full training for the bout in Vegas. The Dojo is a full-hearted, pull-no-punches complete training program designed to guide, support, connect, and accelerate you every step of the way from, I don't know, to working pro. Making sure that you are aligned with the power and possibilities of your voice and on the most streamlined and focused path to having everything you need to have the sustained, successful voiceover career you know you should have. Wherever you are on your voiceover journey, take your voiceover career all the way and join them this Wednesday for their monthly free Q&A webinar, Ask the Sensei. The first Wednesday of every month at 10 a.m. Pacific time. What's stopping you? What do you need to do next? What do you need to do to help with? What do you need help with? What do you not even know you don't know? Our team of Sensei Master Teachers who are working pros who know the business inside and out because they've been there, are in the trenches just like you, are assembled to give you answers, new ways of thinking through the insight and inspiration to get what you need now. It's always just you, but you never do it alone. Sign up now at www.thevodojo.com. That's www.thevodojo.com. And we look forward to hearing your voice.
What do your target clients see when they listen to your audio-only voice demo? Your clients are creating visual content. They live in a visual world. They think visually. To make a strong impression, your voice demo needs to meet them where they live. Now, your voice demo can make a strong visual impression when it's a Vizzy visual voice demo. A Vizzy demo takes your audio-only voice demo and adds a visual component, making it instantly more memorable to your prospective clients. The audio track of a Vizzy demo demonstrates your voice work like only your voice demo can, while the video track tells your story, reinforces your brand, and delivers the call to action that an audio-only voice demo simply cannot. You went to all the trouble to have your voice demo showcase your work. Now, go all the way and showcase your brand, too. Book your Vizzy visual voice demo at VizzyDemos.com.
Well, I wanted to take a minute here to tell you about Source Elements. And I've been telling you guys about their products for the last few months, but they have something new they want to talk about. This is a little something from Source Elements to tell us about. They want to tell us ISDN is not dead. That's what they're trying to tell us here. Source Elements is proud to announce that ISDN is not dead. It will live on. It's not a bridge. They have a new system called VISDN, VISDN, I guess you could say. It lets any customer use their current existing ISDN hardware via just an internet connection. So you have your ISDN box, your Zephyr, whatever it is, and an adapter that plugs into the internet, and they provide the rest. Full access to the existing ISDN network, and you get continued access in the future, well past the 2020 ISDN is going away mark, according to the phone companies. It's more flexible and affordable than most traditional ISDN services. Its competitive outbound dialing rates and has free in-network calling. That means no usage charges between VISDN customers now and for all time. Tell your friends, get direct ISDN even if the local telco says it's not available. Travel with ISDN and don't rely on bridging. VISDN provides the lowest latency, and with two internet connections for redundancy, the most robust internet-based ISDN access. Backed by Source Elements' excellent tech support, VISDN is the best of both worlds. So give that a check out at sourceelements.com.
ISDN is not dead. I was going over to the house for Shiva.
That's what they're trying to say. It's not dead.
Darn.
So we'll be right back.
Before time began,
all right, let's go back
there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology,
business,
and good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
And we are back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. JJ Jurgen will be joining us in just a couple of minutes. But our show is about home studio technology. At least that is traditionally what we've been about.
Sure.
And we invite your questions and send them in to the guys at VOBS.TV. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of questions this week that we can quickly go through because some of them require some simple answers and some of them some attitude.
King of attitude right here. The first one comes from Cynthia, and she says, hello, I have ordered a home studio setup.
Well, isn't that nice?
It hasn't arrived yet. For my professional demos and my audiobook, I went to my local studio to have them done. Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
They all have background sounds or music, probably meaning background effects.
Or, and music, yeah, background music.
Where do they get them? Is there a website to download them? Thanks for the info.
Well, Cynthia, it ain't quite that simple. Usually a studio buys a very expensive production library. I remember in my radio days, we had this huge record collection from TM in Dallas, and they had all these custom jingles on it and different
and
music.
And you'd record them onto a cart.
Right.
Yes.
You know, or you would go, and no, you know, you'd queue up the record and stuff. But now it's on CD. Now probably a lot of it is just downloadable stuff. But you have to pay royalties for it. These guys aren't like producing music and saying,
Here, everybody, just use it.
Yeah, if you buy a CD for $16 and then try using a track off said CD for your demo, bad idea.
Bad. Do not do that. Don't do that.
When you buy buyout or commercial royalty free, I guess they
it's called royalty free
or sometimes called buyout. You are paying for the use of that piece of audio, in most cases in perpetuity.
Right.
You have to check the use license or whatever, the copyright license, but that's pretty much what you're doing.
Right.
So you might, one song, which would normally be $1 on iTunes, you might pay $20, $30, $40, $50 or more for that one track to be on your project.
Right.
Depending on what the producer thinks it's worth.
Right. And then there's the next factor. Do you know how to put music and effects behind your voice properly? I learned all that stuff in college and spent a career doing it as a production director.
Right.
It takes years to learn how to do this stuff. You're not just going to take some music, throw it underneath your voice and say, look what a professional sounding demo I have.
It takes a lot of practice. It's not just about having script and music and some sound effects.
No.
And a lot of times if you're lifting, I'll tell you this too, bonus. If you're lifting your script from the Edge Studio script library for your demo, don't do it.
Ooh.
Do not do it. You know why? Because all those people out there listening to your demos, they've heard all those scripts.
Right. That sounds familiar.
They've heard them all. So if you recycle scripts from that library, which has like over 5,000 scripts on it by now,
it's not
a good idea. You want to have somebody that's a professional demo producer write you your own scripts. You know, that's a good place to start.
Good.
You know, so
hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah. I mean,
next question.
More information than you require.
Okay.
Richard Hercher asks, hey guys, one more oddball tech question for you. He asked one a couple weeks ago. In reference to a product from Apple, it's called the Kinex Thunderbolt 2 eSATA USB 3.0 adapter. Following up on the discussion from a show or two ago, you had talked about the benefits of using Thunderbolt audio interfaces instead of USB. My computer has a Thunderbolt port, which most of the new Macs have one. And I've got a 2i2. That's a Focusrite Scarlett 2i2.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell our regular viewers because they start using just, you know, abbreviated terms.
We know what a 2i2 is, of course.
Would a low-cost adapter get the benefits you've discussed or just make things more complicated?
By my laugh.
Yeah, just more complicated.
Why would you want to do that? USB works fine.
Yeah, well, the bottom line, if you already have a system that's working reliably and working well for you, do not muck it up with another adapter.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Adapters are bad, generally. I mean, I know now all the new Macs have this USB-C port, so they pretty much all require adapters for now until all the new cables and all the new hard drives and everything else are made. But, you know, if you can avoid using any adapters, that's generally a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you the quick version. What's going on is the Thunderbolt port provides a more direct access to the CPU.
Sort of.
It's a fast bus and it's a better direct connection to the CPU. The USB there's more machinations going on. It puts more load on the CPU, blah, blah, blah. So if you plug a USB adapter thingy into Thunderbolt, all you're doing is moving that conversion from USB to Thunderbolt or to the CPU outside the computer into another little box. It does, in the end, there's no net improvement. I can almost guarantee it. If you discover that to be not true, we would love to know.
Yeah.
I would love to be the first one to know. But in theory, I don't think that's going to give you any improvements in performance.
Okay. And the last question from Craig Davis.
Whew. So I'm in search of a better quality mic in the $150 to $200 range. Better quality, $200. Better quality, $200. Okay, we got that part? Got it. Looking at Harlan's MXL VO1A, and then also have a deal going on at the guitar place, and wondering what you think about the MXL comparison, Harlan's mic, the VO1A, with the 250, and then another one that he's mentioning here somewhere.
Yeah.
He has a Xenix mixer, an Avid Fasttrack Pro, but you know, the basic stuff. He said, though, I'd like to send you a file for analysis, which
absolutely.
You should do. Absolutely. But on the mic, any initial insight would be appreciated. I'll tell you, when you're comparing a lot of sub-$300 mics, I will say they've basically been perfected for $200.
Like,
I don't know how much better you can make a $200 mic than MXL has already done.
Right. And the VO1A is made by MXL.
It is. It's a hair over. It's really more like a $300 mic, you know? And he's probably wondering, does it sound like a $200 mic? Or, does, you know, how do they
sound? Make him sound like Harlan Hogan. Not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. But honestly, you know, he mentioned the MXL 4000, which is a multi-pattern studio mic, which means it can pick up cardioid or omni or figure eight.
It doesn't change the way you read copy.
It's not going to make a big difference.
It doesn't change your performance at all.
Yeah.
You just want to capture yourself as you exist. And the simplest of mic over $200 will do that fine.
We can waste your time waxing poetically about
this guy, which of course I just ripped out again.
That's why you don't use those elastic shock mounts. Thanks for demonstrating live on TV.
Of course, yeah. rewiring this thing.
Yeah, anyway. The point being is if you're going to try some new mics, record a couple, send them in. In fact, Dan and I both have services to help you make decisions.
Absolutely.
Dan's got the...
A home studio master, homevoiceoverstudio.com, and you're at...
I'm at edgestudiotechnology.com.
Right. And we're here to help you. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, we can come to your actual house. If you are elsewhere, like Des Moines or Moline or
Canary Islands,
Lincoln, Nebraska, or someplace like that, we can actually deal with you over Zoom or Skype. And we know what we're listening to and we know how to help you set it up. So give us a buzz or, you know, drop a line to us and we'll be glad to set something up with you.
I actually have a service on my website that's dedicated for people trying to decide about equipment. So they can record up to 6 samples on 6 different mics or whatever. And I'll give it a really close listen and I'll give you my opinion.
You all sound the same on all of them. You sound like you.
It costs money to do that because I really am very much going to listen to it under a fine-tooth comb under a very small magnifying lens, so to speak. But for those that really care, it's the best way to get a good professional opinion about the way a mic sounds.
All righty. Well, we've gone on long enough, and we have a wonderful guest coming up here on VoiceOver Body Shop, JJ Jergen. She's a promo gal. She's a writer, a producer. She's all these things rolled into one, and we're going to talk to her right after this. So don't go away. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of VoiceOver Body Shop. Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
You're still watching VOBS?
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
You know, if you're a voiceover actor who also works on camera or would like to add on-camera acting to your portfolio, here's a great way to master the studio and performance techniques you need to work on camera, and the content will take advantage of all you know about working on mic. It's called Camera Ready You, and it's been created by Viotogogo's David H. Lawrence XVII. He's pretty well known in the voiceover industry. He's also a seasoned TV and film actor and will share all the knowledge he's gained working on camera in this class. Working on camera can be deceptively hard. David makes it look easy. But David's put together a special report called The Top 5 Mistakes People Make on Camera. Hopefully I'm not doing that right now. And how to fix them. It's absolutely free. And to get it, just text on camera. Just text on camera to 44222 on any smartphone or messaging device. You probably have unlimited text messaging on your phone, but standard messaging rates may apply. What are you going to learn? How to set up your studio, your lights, your camera, your mic. How to tape on-camera auditions. How to master business presentations, video podcasts like VOBS. Online instruction, lessons, marketing videos, and more. You'll learn how to shine on camera. Don't know which camera to use? Don't know which lavalier or boom mic to buy? Don't know what to do with your hands or your eyes? No worries. Camera Ready will cover all of that. Become an on-camera actor as well as a voiceover talent with Camera Ready You. Again, get those free top 5 mistakes people make on camera and how to fix them. And get on the list. On your smartphone, text on camera to 44222. That's all one word. On camera to 44222 and get ready for Camera Ready You. That's all one word. On camera to 44222 and get ready for Camera Ready You.
Here's a question for you. Do you know what your audition to booking ratio is? As in, how many auditions does it take before you book a job? How about your pipeline? Do you know which jobs you've booked? Which ones you've sent to the client for approvals? How about which ones you've invoiced but haven't been paid yet? Do you know how much you booked this month compared to last month or last year at the same time? Yeah, these questions might make your head spin. You might say, I'm a voice actor, an artist. I don't have a head for business, and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to keep track of auditions, bookings, who hasn't paid me yet, and when was the last time I booked with that guy anyway? That's why we built VoiceOverview.com, a simple way to track, manage, and grow your voiceover business. Because after all, it is a business. VoiceOverview was built by voice actors for voice actors. Check it out today and start tracking your voiceover business. VoiceOverview.com, your voiceover business made simple.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, and we'd like to welcome our guest, JJ Juergens. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again. We saw each other at VoiceOver Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Fun conference.
Fun conference. A lot of great people there. We got to interview on stage. And how did your session go there?
I loved it. I thought it was just such a great group of people. I mean, I love the VoiceOver community. I'd never been to a conference like that before. So I was blown away, and I had a blast.
Yes.
That was great.
And then we all got out and had a very good time at the Ruby Tuesdays, where they will never let us in again.
I think our pictures are up.
I mean, it was me and Scott Parkin and Laurie Allen and you
Jeff Howell.
That's right. Oh, God, what a crowd that was. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. So you're from Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked because I never believed that Nebraska actually existed because I never met anybody from Alaska.
I can only tell you how many times I've heard that out here.
Okay.
I get that one a lot, or I get, I drove through there once, or I flew over there before, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where in Nebraska are you from?
I'm originally from Omaha.
Omaha.
Yeah, I grew up on a lake just south of Omaha. It's called Hanson Lakes, and by Bellevue. It was a great place to grow up.
Yes, where the Missouri River usually just comes flowing by.
Yeah, we actually have the Platte right behind. I live on a lake, and then right across the lake is the Platte River. So we did tube down the river a lot and do a lot of that kind of fun stuff.
Well, that's cool. All right. Well, how did you get from Johnny Carson country here to Hollywood?
Well, I kind of always knew that I wanted to either move to New York or LA. So when I was going, went to school for journalism and advertising. And as part of my school, I did an internship at an ad agency in New York, went there first. And then in grad school, I did an internship out here for MCA Records. And then once I was out here, I was like, that's where I'm supposed to be. Like, I love it out here. So went back and actually finished my last course on my way as I was coming back out here to move out. So, yeah, I just knew. That's what I was supposed to do. I was working for the athletic department in Nebraska at the time, writing the ads for the their show and producing their coaches' shows. And there just wasn't a lot of other opportunities in television there at the time. And, you know, in Nebraska, everybody gets married pretty young and have kids. I looked around and I thought, oh, no, I don't think I'm ready for all this yet. Like, there's stuff to do. So, I decided to tell them that I was going to move out here and didn't have a job, just kind of had to take a chance. I wanted to pursue acting as well. So I figured between on-camera, off-camera, production work, sports work, that this was the place to come to. So that's what I did.
So what was some of your first jobs here?
My first jobs, I worked for the Dodgers for about 8 years.
Oh, that's a good first job.
Yeah, I got lucky. My boss at Nebraska, he started the big screens in the athletic arena. So He was connected to this whole conference of people that work in college, in colleges and pro teams. So it was a wonderful network and place, and a place for me to have. That was my first job in broadcasting, so it was a great first job because he had feelers out across the country. So when I moved out here, he got me in touch with the guys that ran Dodger Vision. So I worked for Dodger Vision, and they also ran UCLA and the Rose Bowl's athletic events. So I would work those various events, UCLA men's basketball and gymnastics, and yeah, so that's how I kind of fell into that. So.
Mm. But then you got into doing voiceover work and promo and
I double dipped. I was working at the Dodgers. Actually 2 weeks out, I went to a group called the Nebraska Coast Connection here, and it's kind of to help people from Nebraska because nobody's heard of us get jobs in the industry, and it works out because actually one of my first interviews, I was told that nobody gives a shit what you did in Nebraska out here, and. So anyway, I wrote down what I needed. You'd say, like, if you were looking for an apartment or a job. So I said I was looking for a job. And ended up, the guy wrote me the next day and said, hey, there's a show starting on CBS. It probably won't be around very long. It's called Big Brother. We're looking for a PA. Would you want to come in and work? Big Brother. So I went in, interviewed for that job, started working that day of the interview because they needed somebody so badly. And then that was 17 years ago. And I've been at CBS like ever since. I freelanced in the beginning, but that's how I first got into the network. And then how I got into voiceover was, you'd think when I was in school, we were writing copy for ads, I would have thought about who I would actually hire to read the ads. But for some reason, we didn't talk about that much in school. So my first job at Nebraska after Big Brother, I'm sorry, my first job at CBS after Big Brother was directing the voiceover sessions. And then I just fell in love with that because I loved it combined, the acting, but it didn't matter what you looked like. And there was so much fun to just play around in the voice. And so I just kind of soaked that all in and studied from paid attention to all the great guys that were coming in and reading on the spots from us. And
who were some of the people you worked with there?
So Joe Cipriano, Donald LaFontaine, Tony Rogers,
The cream of the crop, essentially.
What a great place to be dropped into because I could just, and they were all, of course, all the VO people are so friendly, so everybody was very helpful, and when I decided that this was maybe something I wanted to pursue and I could start asking them questions, they were all really great and good resources to have.
And you're a busy lady now. I mean, we were sitting here, the phone's ringing, and what goes on in your day that with all the work you do? Now, what exactly is your job title right now?
So my job title at CBS, I'm a VP Creative Director of CBS Daytime Promo. So I oversee The Young and the Restless, The Bold and the Beautiful, The Price is Right, and Let's Make a Deal, and handle all the promos and the casting of the promos for those shows.
And how many different people do you use to do that?
You know, we mainly... I would say about four people rotate around with those shows.
And usually don't use the announcers from those shows. You're actually using people that are professional promo people.
Yeah.
Now, promo is it's a different type of thing. You know, if you're looking to get into doing promo, not easy. I mean, it's most of it's done here in Hollywood and or in New York. And there's just – we could probably count the people that are really doing very well on it on less than two hands. Yeah. Why is that?
You know, I just think it's really hard. There's not a lot of opportunity for new people to get in because, like, when we do the upfront pieces, whoever we pretty much use to read that presentation, if you get that, that's a great thing because that means you're probably going to get the show for the whole year, and so you'll be booking that weekly, and lots of times for however long the length of that show goes. So we have, you know, some people could get the show for 8 years if that show stays on for so long. So that's why there's not a ton of turnover, because we kind of have, each voice kind of has its own sound and its own, I mean, each show has its own sound and its own voice. And, you know, there's just not a bunch of new shows each year to find new voices for, you know? And then once, and I think because the pacing of, like, we have over 100 spots a day that we produce at the network. So I think once somebody is in there and they know that, okay, this person's great, they knock it out, they'll be fat. You know, our sessions are not long. Like, you might read that spot one or two times and you're out, you know. Right. So I think once they know, hey, this guy or this girl can do this quickly, get it done, they're reliable, they're always available when we need them, then those names just keep getting circulated, you know, keep getting used because they know they're reliable and they might take more of a chance if they get somebody else, you know, new.
Right. And that's the other issue is everybody wants, it's nice work if you can get it.
It's great work.
But once you get it, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be on call for long periods of time. You know, if you go away, you got to be able to record remotely. And I take it that happens a fair amount too.
It does. And it is true. I mean, yeah, because you kind of don't want, once you get it, you just don't want to leave that window open for somebody else, for you to be unavailable and then for somebody else to come in and they'll be like, oh, well, let's just go, you know, go with them.
Right.
But I will say we understand people having lives, and so we try to, you know, schedule and coordinate around. And we have lots of, all of our guys go on vacation and they, you know, just dial in remotely and everything is smooth. And, you know, so you can leave the leash, but a bit.
Yeah. Now, is most of it done in studio or is it done
not
remotely?
Anymore. Yeah. When I first started, like, a lot of people always came in. And even when we would run auditions, when I auditioned, I would have people come in and we would, you know, audition them, meet them in person and stuff. And I haven't auditioned anybody in CBS for years because we just don't have time for it. The way we have so much to produce that it's just, when we're going to do an audition, it's better to just, I send it to like six different agencies and they send them all back to me by the next morning. And all of a sudden you have 70 auditions where before I'd have to try to book our bays and maybe get five people in one day. Right. So it just expands the amount of people we're able to get in and audition and then keep our bays running and producing spots.
Right. What do you look for? You got to run through 77 auditions. What is it that's going to say, this person?
It's so hard to always, I mean, people always ask me that, and it is so hard to pinpoint it. I always look, promo, you know, you only have a few lines. So it's very important to read what's going on in between your three lines. I can tell people who don't read those, because sometimes, you know, our copyrights in and out of what's happening in the sound bites in and out. And, you know, sometimes when people don't read that, what they read doesn't make sense. You know, the inflections, it doesn't match what my next sound bite would. So that's a little indicator to me when I hear that somebody might be newer or, you know, that they may. Yeah, just those are things that stand out to me. If somebody else saw that and got it and got the joke or got the wink or got whatever was being played there, mm-hmm. I can recognize, you know, that in reads. It's always so tough, though, because there is a bunch of different ways you could always go on a lot of things. And there's so many talented people that it just comes down to a little fraction of what maybe quality sound I liked in somebody's voice a little bit more than the other. You know, maybe if I'm looking for a game show spot, I needed that balance of high energy but still a friendly family smile in it. You know, so.
Yeah, and you're dealing with a bunch of different shows which have different tone and feel to them, and and it all has to work for that. Mm-hmm. So that's it's really interesting work if you can get it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I will say if you're auditioning, that's a great point, because if you're auditioning and you get a show that you don't know what it is, or it's definitely, you should always go to YouTube, look at former promos. I do that all the time when I get auditions, and maybe it's on a different network I'm not familiar with.
Right.
So then I know. Because maybe the title you might think it's a different type of tone of show than it is. And if you see their promos, you kind of get at least where they had been before a little bit.
So you're doing promo yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of, I mean, there's more women than there used to be. How are you treated in the marketplace? And are they always looking for a female announcer? Or, you know, like, yeah, maybe we could use, if you're comparing women to men on a particular thing, what goes into the decision of what's going to work there?
For us at CBS?
Yeah.
I love to bring women in just because being a talent as well. I just love when I can get a chance. So I am always looking for a spot that I think, oh, a woman could, you know, sell this. This is my chance to get somebody in. And like I use a woman for a lot of Young and the Restless spots. And so the tone I look for that is, you know, it's a soap opera. So it's sassy. It's sexy. It's, you know, it's fun. Because a lot of those spots don't take themselves too seriously. They can get, and you know, sometimes the guy just can't pull off the sexy, sassy, sexy fun, you know. Right. So that's when I get to bring a female in. And then, you know, Tia is who I use, and she, you know, nails it every time. And yeah, so it's fun to get a little change of pace in there, which I think stands out too, because when you hear a lot of promos and are all male, it's nice to hear that female pop. Also for the game shows, we, you know, Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, a lot of their audiences, you know, family friendly, you know, female. So it's when I get a fun spot talking about dreams coming true or different things like that, I think, okay, I can bring a female in for this.
Yeah, it is. Let's Make a Deal is real high energy. We did that last year at my son's 21st birthday. So we went in there like, okay, we came as blackjack. So we're 21. And we were exhausted at the end. You know, you come to a commercial and like, all right, everybody up.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, it was nuts. But Wayne Brady was
crazy.
Funny. Great guy.
Yeah.
Very funny show. So you do your own stuff. You're doing your own stuff. You have your own home studio, I take it?
George did my studio.
Shot on, shot on George, so that we can take a bow there. All right. What are you working with there?
I have my Sennheiser mic. I have my Whisper Room because it's LA and I'm still renting. I was hoping I'd be calling him a couple years ago, and I've just started the house search again this past year. So I've been in and out of escrow, thinking I was finally going to be able to call him back up to get me like a little studio like you guys have here going in my house.
Well, you're
house,
welcome to come over here and use it. You're practically
neighbors.
Now that
I know,
neighbors.
I will be over here.
LA is insane for buying a home.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
It's just crazy. Nuts.
Yeah. You know, rent as long as you're safe doing it and you're comfortable. And if you've got a studio that works for you and it's filling your needs, then count your blessings,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you hooked me up. At least I'm still on a semi-quiet street and
good.
It's all worked out.
I'll be ready when you're ready.
Cool.
Yeah, and then we're going to need 5 guys to carry it out of there.
That was my other thing. I'm like, oh, how am I going to move this?
Exactly.
I wanted to move and just rent somewhere else. I'm like, no, I can't move this until I'm like settled somewhere.
Really, you need a semi and, you know, a bunch of really burly guys to move that thing because it's so freaking heavy. How does one study to really get into promo work?
When I first started getting into it, I was just DVRing commercial breaks and promo breaks and just studying and learning and then trying to find out, okay, listen to what resonates with you. For me, I can have a younger sounding voice, so I would record a lot of the Saturday morning stuff, a lot of cartoon promos. I also book sports stuff, so I would record sports stuff and study that. When Chuck Duran did a demo reel for me, you know, he had me pick out like the 5 personality traits most strong in my character. And that really helped me because then that helped me narrow down like, okay, what network or what cable channel is going to be airing promos that are going to resonate with who I am and what I could bring that I think might set me apart a little bit differently than somebody else. Like having a sports background and playing college basketball, I'm heavily into sports and that attitude. So I do book a lot of stuff with that, you know, go get it kind of Nike kind of.
Right.
So I think with people when they're starting out, they should look at what things they're into, what they're very excited about, what their passions are, what their hobbies are, and then find the networks and the channels that have programming that kind of, that's where I would start. You can always build after that, but I feel like going there where you feel your truest and is where stuff will come out naturally for you is the best way to kind of start. And go to, I went to Voice Bank too. I looked at all of like some of the top agencies and I studied like what the girls, what their reels sounded like and thought, oh yeah, okay, I kind of fit in that. But then try to find out what you can do differently than people they already have on the roster. Cause obviously you don't want to sound just like, you know, somebody else, but you can take bits and pieces from people that are working and learn, you know, learn from them.
Yeah. I think somebody said, what's the secret to comedy? Thievery. Yep. Usually the way that works.
And yeah.
You've got to have a model and reference for what is working out there.
Well, even like Tia, who I hire for Young and the Restless, I studied her because she was the Maybelline account forever. So she had that sexy, raspy, fun, playful. So when I have to go into, I get auditions for that, I think, oh, this is the Tia read, you know? So I kind of go into that. So now it's fun to like work with her too. But yeah.
Yeah. If anybody's got a question for JJ Juergens about this, it's a pretty specific piece of work, but, or personal questions or whatever you want to ask her. Just go into the chat room there and type it in. And I believe Jack Daniels is, he's right over there taking care of our chat room. And we'll make sure that we get that question in here. So just throw it in there. We want to hear from you guys. The show is for you. What is a session like? Now, we've had Joe Cipriano once, George, and he was like, wait, I got to do a session. And we were on while he was doing a session.
Only Joe would do that.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah. And we could hear both ends of
Queen
what was
Latifah
going on.
Show.
Yeah. And it was fun to watch. And everybody said, that was the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Tell us what it's like in a session.
How long was the session?
About 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. And that's long for this. I mean, that's about what they are. So session right now with everybody pretty much being not in there, we just send the script out and then dial them up. Lots of times we go so fast that the room producer will just be like, okay, you ready? So I always tell people, especially if they're newer, just say, hey, you know, can you go ahead and play that down for me once so you can, mm-hmm. you know, hear it and get a feel for it. So right. Never be afraid to ask them to do that if you're in a session. They're just so used to people like Joe who do it in their sleep and probably is like, no, I'll just do it. I don't need to hear it down, you know? So you're going to hear... people who are not familiar are going to be reading to, if you're in there, you're going to be reading to picture. And you'll hear the three beeps always, and then you'll read to picture. If you're not in there and you're on the line, you're just going to hear the three beeps in your headphones. And as soon as that third beep, then you're in and you go. And I always tell people, don't worry about, like, if you mess up a line or you realize, like, lots of times you'll start out and you'll read your first line and you're like, oh, crap, I'm behind already. Like, I just took too long. Nice. Never get flustered. Never let that. Don't stop down the session. Just keep going. Because if you then just nail the next three lines that you have, then they'll just be like, okay, great. We got it. Let's just drop in. We'll pop in and get that first line.
Right.
So I think the key is just, like, always just breathing and staying, like, not letting anything fluster you and just... people at CBS are very friendly, I find, and they want you to do well. You know, they hired you already, so you got the job. So just kind of relax and have fun with it.
Doing a live session is always fun. And do you give direction at all?
I mean,
you're like, you explain to them the show is more about this, or could you do it faster? Or you do it slower, or that sort of thing.
I like to go to a lot of the sessions, and especially if I have a spot that's like different than what I normally do, I'll always go into the session and be on the line with them and tell them what I'm looking for, because I don't expect them to like read my mind and then I get it back and it's different, and you know. So I just enjoy doing that as well because I like being a part of it. Normally, you'll be on the line, you'll have our engineer, and then there's what we call room producers, PPSs, so the post-production supervisor is who you're going to be dealing with most. Lots of times, your creative director or your writer-producer won't be in the session.
Right.
The room producer will, and they're the ones who will be giving you notes and leading you through the script. Yeah.
So that's why your phone is always ringing, because you're going from here to there to there to there to make sure this entire process is done.
Yeah, and then we deal with the graphics, all the looks, so you know, everything from the spot being, you know, starting written to the very end. So there's a CBS is a big machine with a lot.
It's a big building, and when I drive by, I'm like, God, that's a big studio, and a lot goes on in there. Yeah. And now we know a little bit more about what's going on in there.
Yeah, and we have a day and a night shift too, so we.
It's constantly mm-hmm. going on. Well, the network's on 24 mm-hmm. hours a day. There's always going to be something on. Plus. There's now so many more networks and so much more content out there that requires promo being done. So the opportunity is obviously there.
Yeah, definitely.
Outstanding. All right. Again, if you got a question, just toss it in the chat room there and Jack will get it to us. You're watching VoiceOver Body Shop. Our guest is JJ Juergens, and we'll be right back with your questions and more stuff right after this.
Here's a question for you. Do you know what your audition to booking ratio is? As in, how many auditions does it take before you book a job? How about your pipeline? Do you know which jobs you've booked? Which ones you've sent to the client for approvals?
How about which ones you've invoiced but haven't been paid yet? Do you know how much you booked this month compared to last month or last year at the same time? Yeah, these questions might make your head spin. You might say, I'm a voice actor, an artist. I don't have a head for business, and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to keep track of auditions, bookings, who hasn't paid me yet, and when was the last time I booked with that guy anyway? That's why we built VoiceOverview.com, a simple way to track, manage, and grow your voiceover business. Because after all, it is a business. VoiceOverview was built by voice actors for voice actors. Check it out today and start tracking your voiceover business. VoiceOverview.com, your voiceover business made simple.
All righty. Turn off that monitor. Thank you. VoiceOver Essentials did a two-day sale on cans. Well, it says $209 off. I think it's 20% off. They had an unprecedented response. So good, they're doing it one more time for all the whiners who had great excuses why they missed the sale. So their email blast is going out tomorrow, and it's really 2 days only. Here's a great quote from Columbus, Ohio. I just received my Harlan Hogan voice-optimized headphones. I took them out of the box to find a gray velvet covering on the phones and a black bag to put them in. Total class with the wrapping in the box. Then I put them on and, oh man, are they comfortable and wrap around my ears and could hear nothing. Then I plugged them in and I listened to one of my chapters of an audiobook that I'm currently narrating. Unbelievable sound, and I even had to turn the volume down from where the setting was on my other headphones. If people missed this deal, they really lost out. That's from Don Colliser, Jr., voiceover performer. And this from Alan Soifer. Hey, got the headphones yesterday. Very impressed with the packaging and presentation, especially the travel pouch. The phones were just exactly as advertised, much better for voice listening and evaluation than any other premium headsets. Exceptionally pleased with this item. Well, I'll tell you something. Harlan Hogan's been with us for 6 years on our show, and one of the best products he has is the Harlan Hogan voice-optimized headphones. Get a shot of George there because
right
he's wearing them right there. And there they are, the Harlan Hogan voice-optimized headphones. They're designed specifically for voiceover. I mean, you might listen to an audiobook on them, but you can't listen to Linkin Park or Pink Floyd or something like that on them. They're a little too flat for that. They're going to give you back exactly what you sound
they're
like.
Not designed to be exciting. They're designed to be honest. They're designed to be very, very real. Like, this is what you're getting in. No hype.
It's like, you know, having a good pair of studio monitors. You're hearing exactly what you put out and what you put in, and you're getting it right back out. So anyway, go over to voiceoveressentials.com. 2 days, I got this special, whatever it was, 20% off or $209 off. I'm not sure. I think it's the 20%. But anyway, you do not want to miss this deal. Go over there, check it out, voiceover.com, voiceoveressentials.com. Best way to get there is to go down the page that you're watching this very show on right now, and you'll see Harlan talking into one of his Portabooth Pros. And you click on that, it'll take you right there. See what this great thing is all about. The Harlan Hogan voice-optimized headphones. Only from voiceoveressentials.com.
What do your target clients see when they listen to your audio-only voice demo? Your clients are creating visual content. They live in a visual world. They think visually. To make a strong impression, your voice demo needs to meet them where they live. Now, your voice demo can make a strong visual impression when it's a Vizzy visual voice demo. A Vizzy demo takes your audio-only voice demo and adds a visual component, making it instantly more memorable to your prospective clients. The audio track of a Vizzy demo demonstrates your voice work like only your voice demo can, while the video track tells your story, reinforces your brand, and delivers the call to action that an audio-only voice demo simply cannot. You went to all the trouble to have your voice demo showcase your work. Now, go all the way and showcase your brand, too. Book your Vizzy visual voice demo at VizzyDemos.com.
You guys have sent in some great questions, and there's some great people that have sent them in, and we're always glad that you're there. Again, if you got a question, throw it in the chat room, and Jack Daniel's right there. He sounds like the whiskey, and he probably drinks it too. But He'll be taking those questions down for J.J. Juergens. What's the first question, George?
We got one that came in from Fred North, and he says, what do the J's stand for? You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, it's a lot. So it's Jamie Jolene Juergens.
Awesome. You got a Jolene in there. All right.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah.
Also, how do you find time to work at CBS and build a voiceover career?
Yeah, it was definitely something I had to figure out what worked best for me. Because when I first started, I was trying to do my auditions like when I would get home from CBS. And I just realized that just didn't work for me. My energy is just not... I used to be a night person back in the college days, but studying late and procrastinating.
It gets worse, trust me.
But yeah, but now I love, and especially being out in LA, I love the early mornings because nobody's out, nobody's awake, and there's so much I can get done. So I ended up switching. So now I always get up and I work out in the morning, and then I do my reads, auditions right after that before I go into the office, just because that's when I feel my best, and that's when I feel the most like connected and involved in my stuff. So that when I made that switch, that really changed a lot of things. Because I fell into the trap that a lot of us do when we're auditioning at home in our home studios, where we might read something once, twice, 10 times, 15 times, you know, and I'm very much a perfectionist too. So that wasn't good for me because I could just sit there forever and spend hours like second guessing and questioning. So now I feel like when I just do that, I go with my gut, go with my instincts, you know, send it off. So that's how I find a kind of, and I'm lucky. I work for CBS, who they have been wonderful with. When I first started, I was kind of nervous to put out there that I was doing VO because I didn't want them to think I couldn't do my job correctly at CBS as well, or there'd be any conflict. And then I finally let go of that. And then once I did, it was great because they actually made me the voice of our Saturday daytime cartoons promos. So it ended up being a good thing. And then when they found out I was in the building, if they ever needed a line 80 yard or, you know, something done for the promo, they're like, oh, just call JJ. So it was a good lesson, too, of sometimes just putting it out there, what you want and what you're after, and that people you think might not want to help you are actually can be your biggest, like, champions and supports. And so they are always asking me what's going on with, you know, VO and stuff.
Right. Well, of course, so they want to put out a good product every day, and if you can help, then that they're going to do that.
Yeah, and so, exactly. And then they get, being in the promo world, they like to see, like, it's fun when they're like, oh, we heard you on this, or we heard, so it's been just, I'm lucky that they let me leave for jobs and auditions and know that as long as I get my work done and do what I'm supposed to do for them, that they're supportive.
That's great. Paul Stefano asks, when starting out in promo, is there a separate promo voice that you have to create, or is it just better to be yourself?
Just better to be yourself,
that's
for sure.
I figured.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can start out definitely just being yourself. Then you can, like, alter yourself. But going back to the, like, in a world guy, like, don't try to be that person anymore, especially as a lot of promos is getting more commercial. I mean, you can, I'd say where we do... I do hear people put a little bit more on is still in our specials. So like for the Grammys, for ACM Awards, things like that where they're big events. That's when I think we still kind of use the most
turn
traditional.
Turn up the amplifier a little bit.
Yeah.
Get a little closer to the mic.
Yeah, and go a lot faster too.
Yeah. This one's from Dave Courvoisier.
Why is Dave not doing Why is he not doing the news tonight?
I know,
he's off this week.
Oh, he's off this week.
That's why. So he's watching our show. Yeah. All right, Dave.
He says, JJ, will you give a newbie even a look at their email the first time? I'm assuming you're talking about casting people.
Like a demo?
Yeah.
Every email yes, I will. Yeah. I do. I like to find new people, and I am always interested in and it's oddly, like, not many people do that. Like, I got more of that just from being at the VO Atlanta conference. And I'm sorry if I'm still getting back to people from that.
Well, there were 600 people there. I mean, it's going to happen.
But normally a lot of people don't just reach out and send me, you know, demos or have me look. So I'm always happy to help people out or give them feedback or, you know. And I do a lot of workshops in LA about once every, I'd say once a quarter, I'll do a workshop with Josiah from Patches Sound. We'll do kind of a promo workout group to get people in. And I always am taking notes and trying to, and I have used people from those workshops as well.
Yeah. Well, Dave, while you're off, I could use some teleprompter lessons. So we'll work on that. We've watched Dave in his studio. What a pro.
Just totally amazing. A pro. He's been doing the news for what, 30 years?
Yep.
Something like that.
Yep. Roger Leopardi. Mm-hmm. Roger, glad you're watching. I officially love J.J. Jurgens.
Thanks, Roger. I love you, too.
Yeah, she's what I love about doing promo. And we know that Roger tells it like it really is.
He's been on our show a couple of times, actually. Yeah.
He's had some I'll have to go back and watch his.
He's some great insight he's given us over the years.
Yeah.
One's from Jack Daniel, who's here in the actually in the room, but he's kind of off mic. We don't have a mic for him, so I'll read it on his behalf.
JJ is like him though.
Yes.
JJ, aside from your coaching and workshops,
what are other JJ, aside from your coaching and workshops, what are other ways that you get the good word out? Do you do a podcast? Also, can we see a Huskers jump shot from your interview chair?
Oh, nice. Wow. Well, three pointers were my specialty.
So, right on.
Well, I'm Clippers fan, though, too, because of JJ Redick. I got to put that out there.
Nice.
The JJ connection.
But what else are you working on?
So what else? I just started a month ago my own podcast, like you guys. It's not about VO, but it's kind of combining my worlds of entertainment, action, and sports, and it's called Tom Girl. Big supporter of, like, strong girls, athletic girls, you know, but the also the different adventures you don't hear much about, like ATV riding. I had the stunt woman from Gal Gadot's stunt double in last week. So just fun, badass kind of...
Well, she wasn't doing her own stunts in that?
She probably could have, though. She was a trained soldier, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's been a new outlet for me that's really fun, because I love interviewing people and finding out and what you guys are, you know, doing, finding out about other people's stories. So that's called Tom Girl, and you can follow that at tomgirl.tv. And we record every Tuesday at 6 p.m. live on AfterBuzz TV.
So you guys, it's similar to this. It's Tuesday, same time, and it's live streamed.
Yep.
Online.
Yep, awesome. Live streamed, and then it goes up on YouTube, just like you. It goes up on YouTube afterwards. It goes on iTunes.
They must have heard about
it. Yeah.
You know, I figured the word's getting out.
Even I throw it up on my own blog at the end after all of that, too.
Wow.
Yeah. That had to be one of the greatest pieces of legislation of all time. Was it Title IX or Title X?
Nine.
Title IX. Yeah. It gave women equal opportunity in collegiate sports, and it's been great in the United States.
You know,
great soccer teams and great athletics, and you obviously benefited from it.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think my mom knew what she's doing. You asked about the JJ. They had a sports writer in Kearney, Nebraska, where my parents are from, and they liked alliteration, so she liked the JJ Jurgens because she thought it would sound good for our sports, and she was right.
Because, batting cleanup, JJ Jurgens.
They always had a good time with it, you know, all through my career. So I was like, Mom, I guess she planted that seed when I was young, where we were going to, like, my path was going to go. But yeah, and for me, not only of what sports taught me and what I learned with my teammates and the training and all that, and I actually think that actually helps me be able to be at CBS and do VO, because I learned how to, you know, time manage, you know, and do multiple things at once. But it's also how I got into all this, because I was going to be straight on this copywriting path, and that's what I thought for sure I wanted to do, was just be at the ad agency doing copywriting. And I was in practice one day when another girl on the team said, you know, I think you should go up to Husker Vision. Like, I think you would love sports broadcasting. And I was like, kind of listening. I remember still standing on the baseline hearing her say that, and I was like, yeah, maybe I should. And then when I went up there, it did just change everything. Like, I loved it. I loved everything about production, and then that's what led to CBS and the voiceover, all of it. So Title IX was amazing.
I rest my case. Anyway, so, you know, closing out here, what is some of your advice to people who really want to get into this specific area of promo?
I'd say definitely find out who, like, some of the top people working, who they are, and just really study them, listen to their reads, go to Voice Bank, listen to those reels, try to find, you know, where you fit in that. There's, if you're in LA, there's a lot of great teachers out here. I mean, Mary Lynn Wisner, studied with Jeff Howell.
Yeah,
there's a lot of places where
Jody Gottlieb.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are, because you don't want to put yourself out there when you're not ready yet, because it really is a small world, as big as it is. Like, the promo world is very tiny, so you don't want to, I don't want to say mess up your first time, but you want to go and put yourself out there when you're strong and you're ready and you're really, like, prepared to do it.
Right.
So get a lot of things out in those classes. And those teachers are honest. They're not out there to take your money. Like, they're very, you know, worth it, and they're going to not steer you wrong. So listen, too. Like, be we all have things we have to work on too. So when they're telling you something, take it in. Don't get defensive, you know, and train. And then when you're ready, get that reel together and then start, you know, try to get yourself a good agent and, you know, go for it. Audition wise, and a lot of people ask me, you would ask what I listen for on audition too. People always ask me how many takes they should put on their audition. For me, I like three. I like the first one is just what you think is exactly what I put on the specs and what I'm looking for. The second one is maybe, I'd say what you think your strongest is. Maybe it might not be like exactly what I was looking for, but it's still kind of in the vein of what I was asking for, but it's what you feel the most confident in. And then thirdly, I don't mind when people throw a wild card at the end, because if I'm listening that long, I already like you. Because most of the time, I'll be honest, we don't get that far.
You're gone 5 seconds in. Yeah.
I try to give a little more, but yeah, I mean, when you have 70 that you got to pick by the next day, you know, you're going pretty quickly. So by the third one, feel free to do something that's like maybe a way I wouldn't have thought of the spot to go. And then it still might not be something I use on that spot, but the next time I have a spot that's asking that may be in what you did, then I'll be like, oh, well, that guy, he can do that too. I remember that on the thing. So why not throw one of those in there too?
Good to know. JJ, a pleasure having you on VoiceOver Body Shop tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah,
it's an honor.
All righty. Well, George and I will be right back to wrap things up here on another successful VoiceOver Body Shop. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here's a question for you. Do you know what your audition to booking ratio is? As in, how many auditions does it take before you book a job? How about your pipeline? Do you know which jobs you've booked? Which ones you've sent to the client for approvals? How about which ones you've invoiced but haven't been paid yet? Do you know how much you booked this month compared to last month or last year at the same time? Yeah, these questions might make your head spin. You might say, I'm a voice actor, an artist. I don't have a head for business, and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to keep track of auditions, bookings, who hasn't paid me yet, and when was the last time I booked with that guy anyway? That's why we built VoiceOverView.com, a simple way to track, manage, and grow your voiceover business. Because after all, it is a business. VoiceOverView was built by voice actors for voice actors. Check it out today and start tracking your voiceover business. VoiceOverView.com, your voiceover business made simple.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too. Advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream...
Yeah. So what happened to you or something? You were like, what was this about?
Well, I have this hobby that also is how I get my workouts in, and that's mountain biking. And one of the problems with mountain biking is you occasionally crash.
Yeah, you've had a couple in the last couple of months, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had two decent wrecks in 2 months, which is way outside my average. Way outside my average.
Right.
But the last one was a pretty healthy one. Andrew, do you have that queued up? Because this one's a good one because I had a camera on me. And so you can really get to enjoy the full impact.
Oh, dust flying.
Yeah. Yeah, I just scraped my left ear.
Yeah, I scraped my ear pretty good. And there were a bunch of guys right behind
me. Yeah, I just scraped my left ear up. And my left elbow.
It's still there. He's checking my...
Good.
He's just checking my ear to make sure it's still there. He's just checking it. Yeah, he just wanted to... Because when you fall and something like that hits your ear, you're like, you don't even know if the ear's there.
Oh, you nailed that. Wow. You know?
So let's put it this way. I'm going to be getting more coverage
better gear. I'm going to be getting a full
be wearing goalie equipment
helmet.
Or something. Or?
Well, I'm going to start wearing the helmet that like the downhill mountain bike racers wear. If you've ever
with the mask,
it kind of looks like a motocross helmet. Yeah, you know, yeah, it really covers the whole face, the jaw, everything. Because that scared the heck out of me. Yeah. And the other thing I'm going to start wearing is leg protection. Not just because of the brush, because my legs look like I was in a cat fight and I lost.
Right. And the brush is high this year.
It's so thick and intense, but also because of rattlesnakes. I rode up on a rattlesnake, a baby rattlesnake, and everybody knows what they're about. They're the worst, the most dangerous, because when a baby rattlesnake bites you, they don't have like good control over their flow of venom, so they tend to bite, hang on, and pump it in. And it's really dangerous. And I just missed this little rattler on the trail by about that much. I saw it just long enough to see what it was, realize it was a rattler, and watch it coiling back. And it's like that, you know, where it can jump out at you.
Right.
And this all went by in like in a second. I was like, and started dropping F-bombs left and right. And then I didn't see a single bike come by me for like 5 minutes while everybody waited for the, but that scared the heck out of me. So.
Wow.
It was a harrowing ride on Saturday, but I'm gonna start protecting myself a little bit.
Take it a little slower, perhaps.
Maybe a little slower.
Just a little bit. Well,
when you're passing rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
Go really, 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 really fast.
Really fast.
Sorry.
And if you see them, they're even more fun to walk by.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
It's as big as a sewer pipe.
Uh-huh.
Next week on this very show, right here, we will have the amazing David H. Lawrence the 17th. Talk to us a little bit more about Camera Ready You, which I think is kind of... I didn't realize that was actually a play on words. Camera Ready You.
He's an exceptionally smart guy.
That's right.
And he has a lot of on-camera experience and voiceover.
Yes. June 19th, Christian Lanz will be here.
Oh, awesome, man. He's great.
Yeah.
Facebook friend.
June 26th, the amazing webmaster Joe Davis.
This guy is pretty much a mad genius.
He has taken the voiceover world by storm. Because he's like, yeah, what could I do that's good in voice? You know, what would be something I could do? There's a big market for you out there.
Is he behind one of our sponsors?
He's behind our sponsors, Voiceover View, the new CRM program, and voiceactorwebsites.com, and a bunch of other ones.
Fantastic.
And he's great talking about the things that go on in creating a website.
Yep.
July 3rd. It's the 3rd of July, but, you know, we're going to take the Monday off, so we got hot dogs and stuff.
Long weekend.
And then on July 10th, the voice doctor, Bill Holmes.
That's right, from Compost Productions.
Yes, who hopefully will bring a thermos of something with him. let's see. Who are our donors of the week?
We got a good batch of them since we were off the air. I got a lot more to read.
We appreciate it.
Yes, Eric Aragone, Don Griffith, Martha Kahn, Shanna Pennington Baird, Atlanta Productions, Greg Thomas, Diana Birdsall, Michael Martin, Melissa Anakiev, that's a new one, Patty Gibbons, Laura Atkinson, Piece of Cake Voiceovers,
Jody Krangle.
That's Jody Krangle.
She came to the rescue, and we're like,
she gave us a little cash injection when we needed it. Thank you. Brian Page, Amanda Fellows, and my dad, George Whittam, all donated in the last two weeks. And a lot of those are subscriptions. You can actually click on the little donate button at the bottom. And if you just want to donate $1 a month, you can do that. It's just automated through PayPal. So we really appreciate any amount that you can support us with.
Yeah, every little bit helps, and we really appreciate it. And especially with the investment we had to make in the last couple of weeks to really upgrade what we're doing, and things are nice and clear and clean, and it's working tonight.
Hopefully it's paying off.
And that's the most important thing.
I hope so.
Let's see.
Our intro tonight was Jay Sawyer.
Sawyer, who just did it a little bit differently, which
I like
is kind of cool.
You know, be creative.
Yeah, you can too. Time it out. We're going to be coming up with a new intro in the next couple of weeks. Because we got some guy with a drone who's going to do some aerial shots.
We're
going to
get some legit drone shots of the Hollywood sign. You know, we're going to have some fun.
That'll be a lot of fun. And so when that's ready, you can get a take a shot at that.
Awesome.
What's George up to?
Well, the latest thing that I've been...
apparently falling a lot.
Plugging away at edgestudiotechnology.com is, if you want to get... I mentioned it earlier in the show, but a lot of people are shopping for gear. And they're like, I got these 4 mics or 5 mics, or I'm considering these 5 microphones. If you buy them from a reputable source with a good return policy, like Amazon, through voiceoveressentials.com, or a dealer that has a return policy, a great thing to do is to buy several microphones, record your voice, maybe do 2 proximities, a close and a far away, and send in that audio. Right on edgestudiotechnology.com, There is a services page for the Working Pro. If you click on that, you'll drop down the menu and you'll see there's a way to send in your audio, and I will analyze and listen very closely and also rank the microphones that you checked out and recorded yourself with. So I'll help you narrow it down and let you know which of the mics sound almost exactly the same and which of the ones are kind of the outliers, you know, because sometimes you'll have two mics that are totally different looking and different priced and they sound the same.
Right.
And sometimes you have two that look say the same and sound totally different. So I'll help you out with that.
Especially those, you know, those Radio Shack Electret condenser mics.
And there's also a heck of a lot of counterfeit microphones.
Yeah, there are.
There's this guy named, that calls himself the Booth Junkie.
Yep.
I don't know if you've heard of him, but he does a voiceover sort of vlog on YouTube. And he did a great one on counterfeit mics. Shure microphones knocked off like crazy. You know, your classic vocal mic, your SM57, 58, they're knocked off like crazy.
Just put a 58 label on it.
They do. But the one to really look out for are the 416s. Because that's a really, really expensive mic to screw up and buy the wrong one. So if you're looking for 416s, buy them from a reputable dealer. Very important. And if you buy a mic through Amazon, for example, make sure you're buying it not through a third party that's being fulfilled by Amazon. Because you're not really buying it from Amazon. You're buying it from a guy who warehouses his stuff at Amazon.
Right.
And he could have counterfeit stuff. So be just really, really careful where you buy. If in doubt, just check to see, go to the website of the manufacturer and see if they're an actual dealer. That's the only way to protect yourself.
Smart way to go. The show logs, you can access the show logs from our page. Jack DeGolia is still out there out in the desert writing down every single word that was said, especially everything JJ had to say.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I know he was intensely listening.
Enraptured.
And he was. Well, who wouldn't be? Let's see here. The podcast version of our show on Stitcher Radio or iTunes, ewabs.podbean.com, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. The survey. We got lots of cool stuff out of the survey. Take the survey.
We did a new survey. It's got a few new questions, and it's formatted in a way that really helps us, makes it really easy to see your content, your what you've sent in, and we're taking it to heart. And those that watch the show live tonight, the feed has worked great, but I know some of you on specific systems may have had problems. Send an email in. If you watch the show later and you had problems watching the show, please send an email in. Send it to the guys at VOBS.TV. Say, no Facebook Live in the subject or something, and I will very much look into that because I want to make sure everybody that wants to be here live can be.
Right.
It's really important to us.
Right. And speaking of being live here in the studio, you can be here.
Yes, you can.
Just if you're in the greater Los Angeles area.
Or visiting,
and, mm-hmm. you couldn't get into, The Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal, you can come on the show.
Put us on your agenda.
Right. On a Monday night, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv, and you too can be here and sweating profusely.
Eating snacks and petting doggies.
And petting Ari, which is what we all love here.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We need to thank our sponsors, especially our two new sponsors, Vizzy Video Demos, Harlan Hogan.
That's right. VoiceOver Extra and Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and the Rehearsal app, and of course his new thing, Camera Ready U.
That's right. Antland's Killer Demos, and our two new sponsors, the VO Dojo.
And VoiceOver View for providing the uninterrupted live stream of this fabulous program.
Yeah.
Thanks to Marcy for letting us be back here in the garage. our producer, Catherine Curden, for getting us fabulous guests like JJ. Thank you again for being on the show.
Anthony Geddick and Jack Daniel. Jack was here in person doing the show notes.
We love that he comes over here. Yeah. It helps that he lives around the corner, but
it's really nice.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Yes. And our amazing floor producer, Andrew Bushwitz. Thank you, Andrew.
Who we threw yet more new technology in his lap tonight. And he handled it with aplomb.
And I think he actually enjoyed it.
He did a really great job.
Yes. And Jack DeGolia for the show notes, and our good friend Lee Penny, simply for being Lee Penny. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Yes, we got through it. We'll be back next week. And hope you have a good week and a safe week.
I will stay off the mountain bike for a solid week.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Well, remember, voiceover is not an easy business. You got to study. You got to work hard. You got to know all sorts of stuff. But we're here to support you and help you out. So keep in touch. All right. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO BS. Have a great week, everybody. Big.
Good night.
930 Newfoundland.
Wow. This is VOBS?
They are ribbed for her pleasure.
Keep it live a little longer, Andrew, for the out show.
All right, it's VOBS dot TV.
Yeah, it is.
All righty. Just let me know when you're ready. We're
rolling. Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else. Harry.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.